This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Grab your coffee and join Marlena Curtis right now for Let's Talk Coffee and Everything in Between with MK Spices here on Access Radio Taranaki.
Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa, nā mai hari mai. I'm Marlena Curtis from Marlena's Kitchen, introducing MK Spice. They're rather nice. And of course, sit back, relax, grab a coffee, because my show is called Let's Talk Coffee and Everything in Between. Now, the everything in between is wonderful. Now, last week, as you would have heard when I recorded, was all about working mums. The balls that we normally juggle and how relationships change. So I'm continuing that series. It's going to continue throughout the years. I'll be bringing people back that have already talked, but their perspective of how they've managed to juggle all the balls. Everybody is different at their ball juggling. And that is something that's really interesting for people to understand how people relate to their working environment and then their home environment, because it is two different beasts, absolutely. In the studio with me today, I have this wonderful lady. Most of you will know her, Olena from Olena Williams Media. Now, Olena is a force of nature. When you see that beaming smile and that positivity, it just reams you in. There's always a ray of sunshine around her. What Olena doesn't know about social media isn't worth knowing. She not only connects with people on a business level, but a personal level. She gets to know who her clients are, how they're operating. And I have to say, from my personal experience, I've had so much extra business from Olena, so much extra finances coming through, because Olena doesn't just do social media, she is social media. So you will hear me refer to her sometimes as OI. I call her, actually, as my husband said, actually, Olena should be known as OI. And I said, what do you mean OI? He goes, Olena Intelligence, because she is like that. You ask her anything and boom, you've got the answer. So AI, yeah, that's wonderful, but I have a human who has surpassed the artificial intelligence. So welcome to the studio, Olena.
Thank you, Marlena. Your words are so kind and you are so positive and so welcoming and extremely generous. I'm very, very lucky and humbled to know you. Every time I see you, my mood goes at least 2 points up, sometimes more. But I'm sure my karma also goes several points up, because wherever you go, you bring a good attitude, you teach people, and you are quite a good role model. I learn a lot from you.
Oh, thank you, my darling. That's wonderful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We work very well together. I think it's important that when you connect, you're connecting with people on different levels, that you can connect with people at different levels. And that's the thing with Olena. Olena can connect with you with any walk of life, any stage you're in, and project your business into the future. So that's my personal experience with my business. It's been fantastic. Now, Olena, what's your favorite coffee, my darling?
Oh my gosh, I'm so picky. I almost see how people roll up their eyes when I order my coffee. I really didn't drink coffee before I got a child, and then suddenly I realized that I need to be awake much more often than I am. So at the moment, I'm trying to reduce caffeine. So I have a single shot coconut latte in a large cup. So it's basically a lot of coconut milk with very little coffee, slightly colored coffee.
Colors of water, which is how I used to drink coffee,
milk.
Actually.
Coconut milk.
Coconut milk. Why the coconut milk?
It's naturally sweet, and I just discovered this is something about this area, this region. We are so close to Pacifica Islands, and every time I order coconut milk, in my head there is a beautiful picture of a sand, lagoon, and some coconut palms.
See, a creator always has images in their mind of everything. That beautiful picture that Olena has just drawn for us. And for myself personally, yes, my coffee changes all the time, much to my husband's dismay when I go out with him, because he can't. No, I'm not drinking that one now. And also, I don't know about anybody else, but health, when you're ill and things like that, your tastes change as well.
Absolutely. And with age, with a lot of things, how well you slept, what environment you are in, how cheerful or stressed you are. I believe that some people need a boost of sweetness simply because they're slightly down and
absolutely.
Energy is low.
No, that's so true, because sometimes I go to places and I go, oh, you know what? Is that how you normally make it? Yeah, I go, well, obviously, I need the sweet now. Mm. We need to put a bit more sweetness in there. So that's really true. That's very observant of you, because most people don't even realize.
One of the best coffee experience I had was when I was 13. When I was at the age of 13, the only thing I was wanting to do was leave home. So I quickly discovered that I can't really run away because no one waits for me anyway. So I went to the kind of a junior Academy of Science in Crimea, and it meant that once a month I could go to another city, to the university, and spend the day in the university. So my parents gave me a little bit of pocket money, so you know what I spent it on? On Turkish coffee. And coffee wasn't something that we didn't supposed to drink at the tender age of 13, but this was my treat. I went to this little coffee shop in Simferopol, Crimea, and there was a guy who was wearing traditional Turkish clothes, and he was making coffee in this copper container, which he warmed up in the sand. And seeing him doing it, the ritual, the movements that were almost like an art form, was so rewarding. And the fact that I did something that was totally mine and no adults have control over me. You know, I could have done something much worse, but I didn't know that it was available.
You know, I believe the youngest person, I had somebody in the studio talking about coffee, and they said that they started drinking coffee at 6, and they said in their culture, in their country, they drink coffee early to cleanse their palate, to clean their palate, to get them ready for the wonderful tastes of food. And I was like, I was so shocked, because I know I didn't start drinking coffee until I came to New Zealand, actually. And the thing is, some of us are wired, and I think they would call it ADHD back in the day, but there was just people who were just exceedingly active. I used to make my peers tired. So, you know, I've been teaching since the age of 11, and that's not just my peers, adults as well seem to listen to what I had to say, and from a child, but there you go. If I had had coffee then, I think I would have been because I was already wired in a certain way. Now, and I didn't like tea. Being British, I know, don't jump up and down, but I couldn't stand the taste of tea. Do you know what? To drink tea, I used to put 5 sugars in it. And when I say 5 sugars, it was heaped teaspoons. Why? It took away the taste of the tea.
Oh.
So I stopped drinking. I didn't like tea. I stopped drinking tea. And I thought I was doing well when I got down to 4 sugars in any hot drink. I'm now down to 2, or the caramel, which is, you know. But I would have loved to. People say, oh, you can't taste coffee. Yes, you can. I can taste it.
Well, you need to take energy from somewhere. I've observed you over years, and you eat very little, you move a lot, so you do need energy from somewhere.
Yeah, I do. I don't really sit still for very long. And now, you are a mother, of course, and as the show today, we're just delving into all the balls that we're always throwing up in the air. And, I mean, you have your son, he's going to be heading off to university next year, which is going to be a change for you. Yes, you will have more time. And adapting, and I think you asked me once, you know, how did I cope? And I was honest about the first one, and I said that it's when you get to the last one. So I had 3 children, and it's like their first day at school. They drive you mad because they have so much energy, and then all their friends are coming in, and I have no idea why the friends want to come to my house, because I told everybody off, but there you go. And the first day of school, you've got a lump in your throat. They can't wait to get out because you've trained them to be independent and to want to get there. But here's the thing with the working mums is that you've got to navigate through, well, they're at school, that's great, but then they're coming home. And when they come home, that was the best for myself personally. It was the best time of the day. So I didn't take lunch breaks. I didn't take smokos. I didn't take any time off so that I could get home in time for that special time and then start work again. There's some of the balls that you learn. What some of the balls that you've had to adapt to raising, and thank you for raising our next generation, but they've done an amazing job with him. He's amazing.
Well, thank you, Malena. But number one, what I discovered about motherhood is, number one, I'm not really a good mom.
No, rubbish.
That's true. What I came to conclusion with is that we so many multifaceted humans, multifaceted beings, and being a parent is only one of the facets, and we shouldn't really emphasize one over another. You kind of need to put yourself somewhere upper on the priority list. Otherwise, you do a disservice to your child as well. If you think logically and don't connect to any particular individual or family, what we teach kids in the early age is just totally contradicting with the success in life. Like, we teach them to be obedient. We teach them to shut up. We teach them to take up other people's opinion over your own ones. And then when they kind of turn 40, they are doing a lot of, they're spending a lot of money with psychologists trying to kind of correct the trauma that mothers gave them during the childhood era. So for me, going through the motherhood was a huge learning. It was a learning of being able to step back and let them do whatever they want. And by them, I actually mean my son and my husband together, because somehow boys kind of need to learn from each other. And mom's role as role of the woman is completely different. It's rather, a lot of people see it as nourishing and serving. But I think the most important thing that I gave to my son and my husband in the, as a role of the mother, is just setting boundaries. I think I'm pretty good at it because, I mean, within the boundaries, they can go crazy and do whatever. For example, we know that we cannot offend other people, but within this, you have a lot of options. You can say something that could potentially be offensive, but with a little bit of a logic, you kind of unpack it, and it's just boundaries as well. You find your own voice, because within the boundaries that everyone in the family is supposed to be heard, it means that it's me, it's everyone, and including the child. So we need a special time where we listen without actually jumping into conclusion either how to help or how to change the behavior or how to completely kind of punish for something that is done really not up to our standards. So it's really interesting. It wasn't what I was imagining, motherhood.
Yeah, I don't think it ever is it, really? I mean, it's really funny how people who have children encourage everyone else to have children because they want you to go through the same pain as what they're in. So that's rather, oh, yes, have another one. Oh, excuse me, have you been around my first one? And I do really agree with you there, and I think each culture has a different way of raising children. So with my multifaceted cultures, because there's so many there, was that I probably did things quite the opposite that could be, well, the kids were at my house. So I treated them that they are children, but I also learned to listen, but also give them the confidence in a way that if they wanted to take something back, I remember at the age of 7, all of them always wanted to take something back. I would take them to the store, of course, because they can't drive, but I wouldn't do it. You do it, and let me hear you. And I think that people would be mortified, but children are so far ahead of where you think they are. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, and that's the key. So when I was teaching the youth, the real young kids, and this young boy came out with something so prevalent. And I was like, what? And then you realize oh my goodness, they've got, they have all this knowledge already. They've been observing you from day one, yeah?
Mm.
And they have all this knowledge, and you have to allow them to speak. Mm. I remember, and I think it's a really good point you brought up, Elena, about telling them, you know, to be quiet, to look down. That's why I love the stage school. I said, you can now use your outside voice inside. How wonderful is that? Let's go. And it's brilliant. And then the other thing is that it's exciting because just, and I do agree with you, and it's funny, I was thinking about this yesterday before we started talking today, actually, that's how the universe works, was that this lovely lady I used to rep with, she just came into my mind, just with a different company, and she said she felt really bad. She didn't really want children, but her husband did, so she was, you know, wasn't so against it. But she said as soon as she gave birth, literally, she came out of the hospital and was back to work within
wow.
a week, 12 days. She goes, because she couldn't stand it. She said, I felt like it made me a bad mum. I said, no, it made you an honest mum.
Mm.
Do they remember?
I mean, it's
well
different
rounded?
For everyone else.
It's
like,
different. Mm. You cannot impose your parenting skills, you as a person, you as a human, on somebody else. What's right for that person isn't right for the other. Like when it was really hard for me to take my children to, it was the separation thing going on there. And my husband goes, you have to, because you need to have a break. You need to become you again, because right now you're just, you know, encompassing. It's very, very difficult. But it's good. It was good for my children.
Mm.
But that, some people, it's not.
Mm.
So like you were saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also want to stress what you said, because the role of mother and the role of teacher are two different roles. Mother is there to listen, but very often kids refuse to learn from us. So having a good teachers around is actually quite good, because they not only demand more than what we can demand, but also they set up the bar higher. Like we can say to our kids, like, I expect you to do well in life. I expect you to do well. And this is kind of a very general and very broad kind of a borders that they can act with. But the teachers will say, okay, well, to do well in this particular music, for example, you need to learn this particular piece. And for doing this, you need to train 2 days, 2 days a week for 1 hour. If mom would say it, it will be nagging. So we don't want to be nagging moms. But teachers can do it. That's why I have a lot of respect for teachers. And I think
absolutely.
Is something that we need to concentrate on nurturing. Community that respects teachers, and no one can actually say bad things to them, and everyone is grateful.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, people are forgetting that that's one of the hardest jobs. And I always say, you know, every parent should go into a classroom and be a fly on the wall, because it's not an easy job to do. Now, I remember, I mean, teaching drama and arts, usually they want to be there. So when the parents used to come in and I didn't see them and I was screeching my lungs out because, blah, 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 you know, the teaching styles. And the mother came up to me and she said, so you shout at them? I said, of course. And she said to me, oh, it's like Saint Marlena at home. She goes, I was getting quite upset. She goes, how come you can shout at them? I said, because I'm not their mum. I'm not their mum. They will listen to me because I'm not their mum. I'm not their friend. I'm their teacher. And there's a line. I'm friendly, but I'm not your friend. And they know when not to cross it. And they know I expect the best at all times. That's was my style of teaching. Love, friendship, friendly, humour especially. But it just came back to my mind when the mother said to me, you know, Saint Marlena, and then she was so confused as to how, when I was raising my voice, that they didn't get upset. But it's different coming from a teacher. It's coming from a different place within your spiritual centre, your soul, your heart, wherever. From a mother's perspective, it's always from the love center. It's usually. It's always coming from that overprotectiveness. And then They don't want to hear your voice anymore. That's the other thing.
Absolutely. And we all have the role of parents sometimes, and sometimes we have a role of a teacher or a leader in the community, because teacher is a leader. And I think it's not only about teaching a particular subject or skills or something like that. It's also showing to be resourceful. Like they say that nowadays higher education is not about the certificate or disciplines that you learn. It's about knowing where to find information, how to connect it. So parents very often so busy with their own lives, but teachers can show how you can be resourceful within your own domain. Like children have only a small field that they can control, but within their field they can control a lot of things. And I think it's great privilege that we can give to our kids to be able to control small part of their
That's
life
right.
and then bigger, and then when they're adults, they can be in control of their own life.
Exactly. I mean, one of my pearls of wisdom was do your best. Your best. Don't worry about Peter on the side of you or Maxine on the other side of you. When you do your best, you will always get to where you want to go to, because it means you're excelling. You're just in competition with yourself. Just do your best and then you're going to be happy. One of my children brought home, they had a project to do and they showed it to me and I just looked at him, is that your best? No. I said, well, what do you need to do to make it your best? We went out, we got everything, and she got an A because she did her best. Not my best, but her best. She did it all by herself. But it was just going that step further and the believing in herself that, oh, I can do this, I can do better. And I think one of the biggest things that our teachers, they're not shown, but first of all, they're not paid enough, but that's another story in itself. They are teaching our next generation. And whether we understand or not, or grasp that concept, that is one of the hardest jobs to do. And if you go into a classroom, just go into a classroom, sit at the back and don't say anything and see what the challenges are. They're going to be different. Every single year they're different. From 10 years ago to now where the, you know, technology's in the classroom, teachers are having to with the phones and this business. It's a difficult situation, but they're managing. And we need to get on side. So whenever, you know, I can remember... One of the children was naughty at school, at my stage school, and the mum came in with the daughter, and the daughter was saying, oh, she's saying something about me, and the mum said, oh, I just said to her, well, what did you do that was wrong? Because they know my ethics. So once you know the teacher's ethics, you know where you are. When my kids came home, I didn't jump on their side straight away. I said, if I go up there, and it's a different story, tell the truth. And then responsibility. Mm. How are you with teaching your responsibility? Because you're working, right? So that's a responsible role, they're watching that. You're running the house, you and your husband, partner, whomever, that's another responsibility. You're putting food on the table. Our children are adapting and watching you, how you take responsibility for everything. And if it's always somebody else's fault, that's the marker they're gonna take. How did you find throwing the balls up and down and with this responsibility role?
You just said such a marvelous thing about that they learn by observing you, and I think it's truly correct, because however often you say something, and if you do the opposite or don't perform it, it's just a child is not going to learn about it. So responsibility is just to be present for me. Sometimes you don't know all the answers, or you do not finish the subject or project, or you just need to turn up and admit, because what's the difference between an adult and the child? The difference is that adults keep the word. So if I said that I'm going to help with this, or I'm going to be at home at this time, or I'm going to take you somewhere, I am. Because this is something of the first stage of responsibility. And then later on comes the bigger one, like I'm marrying someone, that's why I'm taking responsibility of this person. Now, when we are happy, young, and later on, when we have kids, and maybe this person might not be able to work, or when health is not perfect, or something like that. So, it's, like anything important, it starts from small steps, which children also can help. And later on in a big project. So a lot of people see having animals as a responsibility thing. And I remember I told my son when he said that he wanted a dog, I said that for 30 days you're supposed to get up early in the morning, go for a walk, and also wipe the floor in the kitchen for 30 days. And I think he lasted 4 days.
There you go.
And then he said that he doesn't need a dog. Some people think that it's a very quiet torture, but I mean, this is a responsibility. Like,
there you go.
If, for example, we will have a dog that he didn't want and parents are not very fond of, like, it's a poor suffering animal, and we don't teach child responsibility. We kind of teach them that all your desires are supposed to be fulfilled. And this is not real life. Like, not all of our desires are supposed to be fulfilled. Some are supposed to stay a dream.
That's right. And I love that, what you did with your son, because the first child wanted a guard rabbit, right? The other one wanted a blinking python. And for each child, I said, you know what? Keep your room tidy for 1 year. I know that may sound extreme, but they never got the python or the guard rabbit because, again, teaching them responsibility. And like you say, you're having all these stray animals all over the place. Some children are wired, and some parents already have the animals there. And so it's, you know, it's already there, and that's wonderful. But yeah, I agree with you there 100%. So we're going to end the show there with Olena Williams Media, who I said is OI. So she's been producing the show today. She's also on the tech desk, and she's also just given a time up, and she also was interviewed. So there you go. That's what I'm talking about. Somebody who's multi-talented, multi-crafted, multi-everything. So Olena Williams from Olena Williams Media, thank you so much for being into the studio today.
Thank you so much, Malena, for inviting me. It's such a pleasure to be interviewed by you.
Oh, thank you, my darling. So I'm going to say Kakatiano from Let's Talk Coffee and Everything Between, Marlena Curtis, Mama Marlena, Queen of Spice. Kakite, have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.